Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn with me, please, to hymn number 168. We'll sing the first three verses. Continue worshiping this morning. Greet each other.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so very, very glad that you all made it in today. We've got a special service today. We've got our choir cantata this morning. And so we want to say welcome to all of you. I look around and I see we have several people that are in the midst of holiday travels. But then we've also got several visitors with us this morning. And we just want to say welcome to those of you that are first-time visitors. If you are a visitor this morning, we just ask that you sit back, relax, and make yourselves at home this morning. Hopefully, as you came in, you had a chance to grab a bulletin on your way in. I've just got a few announcements that I want to briefly touch on. If you are planning on ordering a pie for Christmas from the Ladies' Fellowship, you need to see Mary Willard. She's got her hand up back here in the back. You have till Wednesday to order a pie. The ladies will be getting together this Saturday to make all those pies, and then next Sunday the pies will be ready for you all to pick up. That way you'll have them in time for Christmas. We do have small groups tonight. If you are a part of a small group, you'll be meeting at 6 in your respective places. If by chance you are not part of a small group, maybe you want to know a little bit more information about the small groups, you can see myself, you can see Pastor Gary. We can get you information on that. And then, of course, there will also be the normal regular service here at the church for those of you that meet here. This coming Sunday, I don't know that everyone has experienced this, but here at the Nixon Church of the Nazarene, we have a special service each December where the platform kind of changes a little bit more so than it already has, and we have what we call the Swearingen Christmas. So that'll be a fun time next Sunday morning where Pastor Gary and his family will be sharing with us. And then
we have new stuff this year.
New stuff. And will all of the family or just most of the family be here?
Not most of the family.
not most of them.
So I'm adopting my usual.
There we go. So be here next Sunday for that at the regular service. And then you may or not have noticed, but coming up the week before Christmas, week of Christmas, the 21st to the 25th, please take note that the church office will be closed that week in celebration for Christmas. And then lastly, this month for our pastries and prayers, each month, we focused on a different school building or a couple different school buildings to recognize and lift up in prayer. And please remember that this month we are focusing on the Inman School building. So we've got a couple more weeks left to recognize that building.
All right.
We just simply, in a way, missions want to say thank you for all of your generous giving through the holiday season in regard to being able to do the pastries and prayer ministry to the schools and able to do the turkeys that we contributed to least of these in doing the Christmas family that we've adopted and the various things. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you so much for your generous giving and your spirit of reaching out to others who may be less fortunate at a very important time of the year. We'll ask our ushers to come this morning if they will. We'll receive our regular morning tithes and offerings. We want to be praying for Pastor Don and Ruth. They'll be leaving a little early today. They have a funeral that they have to be a part of this afternoon. So you be praying for them as they travel in the rain and those things. And then we just are, again, so thankful for God's blessing in our lives, and we want to return to Him that which He has blessed us with. Going to ask Brother Steve to come and to receive my offering and to pray over
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day that you've given us, dear God, to come to your house and worship you. We just pray that you will bless this offering and help us to use it as you would have us to further your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. The flute is always one of the most beautiful instruments to listen to, and I'm so glad that they didn't have Jacqueline play tuba in the band. But what a great thing for our young people to share their talents, to give themselves to the Lord, and this is a season of giving. And so, ladies, to all of you, and Janet as well, we appreciate that beautiful number this morning in song. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we want to be mindful of those items that indeed are within our bulletin. The prayer list is there. There are many things that are going on. A lot of our folks have been battling illness, and there have been some surgeries indeed that have taken place. We have some people recovering from some knee surgeries and things, and so we want to be remembering those folks. We know that this is a season where people are traveling. There are many family gatherings. There are events to get to, and so people will be on the roads. And we just pray that indeed the spirit of love and giving that is a part of this Christmas season will be a part of our lives and our daily activities as we negotiate the stores and as we travel the roads. And there are more people everywhere we go. And so indeed, may we exemplify the spirit of Christ and His love to all we meet in every place that we go this morning. Stand with me if you would this morning and let's sing together. These altars are open to you always at any time in the service, but in this time in particular, if you just have a burden that you need to lay down and leave with the Lord, or if you have praise that you want to lift up, no one will come to you. It's your personal and private place to meet with your God this morning. And so as we sing, while you feel free to come if you have need, and then we'll join our voices together in prayer. We are indeed grateful this morning for the privilege of gathering in your house as your children to hear your word and to hear your voice speak into our lives. Lord, we are reminded of the messengers that you sent throughout the Christmas story, how you spoke individually to people, how you spoke to groups of people throughout that story. And Father, we are glad today that you are still speaking to your children. And so, Lord, as we come today, we pray for our sanctuary choir. We pray that this cantata would be a blessing as our gift to you this morning, the sharing of the talents that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, that we would share this message with those who are here to listen and hear this morning, and that indeed they would be reminded of God's great love, of His plan of salvation, His desire to be in a relationship with them, and indeed, Father, that they would find peace and hope and all of the things that are a part of this Christmas season. We pray that the joy of Jesus will flood our souls and spill over into the lives of the people that we encounter throughout this Christmas season. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the fact that we know that you are concerned about us and the things that concern us. And so, Father, today we pray to you as the great physician and ask you to touch the lives of those who have had medical issues, that have had sickness and ailments, and, Lord, that you would touch them and bring healing to their bodies and lives. We pray, Father, that you would provide for those who may be going through a very difficult time. This can be a very tough time financially for a lot of families. Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and we believe that you are the provider. And so, Lord, give us wisdom in the management of our funds. Make us good stewards, but allow us, Lord, to be generous givers as well, as we've already experienced here in our church. And so, Lord, we just thank you again for your love and pray that you would touch us most of all, first and foremost, spiritually. Lord, that we would indeed yield our lives to you allow you to take our sins and cover them by the blood of Jesus. And that, Lord, we would carry on a relationship with you and your word and your will for the rest of our lives here on this earth, that we might make a difference and that we might be like that Bethlehem star, and that our lives will shine in a way that will point others to you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you, for you are worthy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We are at that point in the service where we indeed light the candles on our Advent wreath. And we this morning want to ask George and Sarah Schofield to come. And if the kids are with them, to bring the kids. And so the kids must be elsewhere this morning. Okay, that's all right. We'll let you tell us who they are and fill us in. But we welcome George and Sarah. This is one of the families that has come to us new in this year, and they're going to light our three purple candles for us today and share our poem. But just before they do that, George, you or Sarah, whichever one of you would like to do so, just tell us a little bit about you and your and where you work, and tell us about your children, and we're glad you're here this morning.
Good morning, everyone. My name is George Schofield. I'm one of the managers down at the resort in Wyndham and Branson. I spend most of my time down there, but she has a tougher job than I do. She homeschools our kids for us. And they're up hiding somewhere in one of the rooms back there. But our little girl, Caitlin, who's three, and then our boys, Cameron and Gavin, who are 6 and 9. So.
Okay. To our circle of light, today we return. The number is 3 of candles that burn. Hope, love, and joy, the flames represent. The benefits that came in this blessed event. Prophets and angels declared God's plan. Shepherds hurried off and found his gift to man. They returned and told of this first advent of Emmanuel, God with us, who heaven has sent. God's gift of love on that night did arrive, marked by the star that hung in the sky. He dwelt among us by the Father's will, so his grace and mercy our hearts could fill.
Would you welcome George and Sarah and their family this morning? We're so glad that they indeed are part of us. Thank you, George and Sarah. And would you welcome this morning our sanctuary choir, whom we are so proud of and always do such a wonderful job to hear the message that God has to deliver through them this morning. Thank you.
This story begins with silence.
A long silence that lasted 400 years, four centuries of waiting to hear from the God we worshipped.
God had not spoken. No prophet had given us a fresh word from him. No king had shown us the way to him. We prayed, offered our sacrifices, and kept the festivals and holy days.
But there had been only silence and waiting.
As we waited, our people looked to the ancient texts that told of another time of silence and waiting, when there was a vast nothingness until a great word was spoken and his spirit moved.
God creating and breathing life into the world.
We looked to our ancient heroes of faith and the centuries of slavery in Egypt. We remembered the night of our liberation when the death angel passed over.
We relived the Red Sea crossing and our wandering in the wilderness when Jehovah was life.
A succession of kings ruled over us, and the more we turned away from putting God on the throne, the more desperately we needed him.
Finally, the nation was destroyed, not by enemies who conquered us, but by our own unfaithfulness to the one who had given us everything.
Yet even in our destruction, God had promised we would not be forgotten. A son would be given. A savior would come.
The silence would be broken, and God would speak.
Every longing and need we had would be met as his spirit breathed new life into our world.
At last, the wait would be over. Every prophecy would be fulfilled. And the most amazing part of it was that the two of us would be chosen to help bring it to pass.
Thank you.
Who would have imagined that God would break his silence in the way he did? Or that she would hear his message from an angel's lips? He said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will give birth to a son. Call him Jesus."
The Spirit gave me the words to answer. At the very moment Joseph was weighing what to do about my situation, he will be told in a dream, "Don't be afraid. Mary will have a son. Call him Jesus.
He will save his people from their sins."
Who would have imagined the way we would live in the way all we thought could conceive? Who would have
Caesar's decree came at the worst possible time. Mary was nearing the time to deliver her child. Our journey to Bethlehem to register was difficult for her. Everything she had been called to do was difficult. Already she had endured scorn, mistrust, and danger. But when God called, she simply answered, yes.
Faith in God had carried me through the 9 months of being an outcast and the target of endless gossip. Faith had given me peace when Joseph doubted me. Faith had provided strength and courage as we traveled to Bethlehem. I had faith. I trusted God. Still, I will confess that there were moments I wondered about a God who would give such a task to someone like me.
I have traveled Jesus came into the world in the exact way God had planned it all along. In spite of the difficult circumstances, everything about him was perfect.
Suddenly, there were shepherds peering through the doorway of the stable. When they saw Mary and me, and then the baby lying in the feeding trough, they came in and fell to their knees before him, and they worshipped him. Many years later, John would write, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Mary and I were the first to see it. Then the shepherds who came in from the hills that night caught a glimpse.
And ever since then, people have found their way to him one way or another. When they see him for who and what he really is, they love him. For what would we have done if he hadn't come to us the way he did?
Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child. Welcome.
We didn't know it, but wealthy men were already on their way to honor him. They brought precious gifts to lay at his feet.
Heaven's Son was worthy of even more.
He deserves everything we hold dear.
So we let go of all we value, all we cling to.
We lay down anything that would keep us from surrendering our lives to him.
Because the truth is, he is the only treasure that really matters.
Lord, oh,
Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 records, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." We know that that term, Emmanuel, literally means God with us. What would a world be like without God? We know how we feel now about folks who don't include God in their lives or in our government or in our situation. And we know that it is a history of God's presence with us that sustains us in the challenges and the difficulties that we face. But think about what we just heard in this cantata. What we're reminded of, that between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the Gospels, which is the story of Jesus' birth, that there were 400 years of God not speaking as the voice on the mountain or out of the Ark of the Covenant, that he was no longer speaking to prophets who were writing and speaking to the people at the time. But it was the everyday people. It was faith in what God had done for all of those hundreds of years before. It was their faith in the Word that He had left with them, the Scriptures that they heard read at the temples. It was that remembrance. It was the people themselves who carried for that 400 years of God's silence in their worship, in their passing on from generation to generation in God's silence, passing on their faith, passing on their belief. And now this baby Jesus comes and brings God to us once again. Let me share with you just a little scripture journey this morning as we think about God's gift to us. In John chapter 1, in verse 1, we read this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We know that Jesus is part of the Holy Trinity. He was here from the beginning. And then God had this idea, because the law was not sufficient, animal sacrifices were not changing the hearts and lives of men, and God said, "We've got to do something different." And in John chapter 1 and verse 14, we read these words: "The Word that was with God, Jesus, the Word became flesh, the babe in the manger, and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And we're reminded that Jesus spent 33 years here on this earth teaching us how to interact with the Father, teaching us how to be yielded and submitted. And when He prepared His disciples for His leaving of this earth physically, He spoke these words in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, the latter half. He said, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That is God's promise. That is God's gift, that He will always be with us. There will never be a time that God is not with us. In that 400 years of silence, God was there. He was there in the voice of His people. He was there in the faith of His followers. And yet, think yourself, how many of you have been through a spiritual desert time in your life sometime where you were going through some challenges or difficulties and you prayed and it seemed like the prayers hit the ceiling and came back down, and God wasn't really giving you an answer one way or the other? It was just almost as if He forgot you existed. We can't stand that for a day or a week or a month, and yet they faced it for 400 years. But in their faith, in their belief, they stayed true. They continued to share the message. They passed it on. And Jesus, as He prepared to depart the premises in John chapter 14, said to these men, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." And then He kind of put the seal on it in John chapter 16 and verse 7 when He spoke these words: "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Stop and think about this history. God was always present as a voice in the Old Testament. He was with His people. Even in His silence, He was there. but they weren't hearing from him. And then this prophecy that all of those who were Jews were well aware of, not everybody accepted, obviously, but they were aware of the history that said there would be a virgin and there would be one who would be born. And now the baby Jesus comes, and now Jesus is here and he's proclaiming, I am the Son of God and I am the one that's been sent, and I've got to go away because God's presence will still be here. Even when I am not physically with you, God will be with you through his Holy Spirit. It was given on the day of Pentecost. He promised us that we would never be alone, that we would never be without God's presence. I'm reminded of an old hymn that we used to sing, and I couldn't even find a hymn old enough to have it in it here at the church, but it used to go this way, and we sang it when I was a kid growing up. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptations sharp and keen. I have a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley I'm treading the road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness, earthly joys all flown, my Savior whispers his promise, I will never leave thee alone. He died for me on the mountain. For me they pierced his side. For me he opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me he's waiting in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. No, never alone. Emmanuel. God with us from the beginning of time for all eternity. God will always be with his people. That's his gift to us. Our gift to him is to give our lives back, to yield ourselves, to surrender. In John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it's recorded this way. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And our correct response is recorded in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you remember the words in the narration of Mary and Joseph in the Cantata? We let go of all we value and all we cling to, and we lay down anything that would keep us from surrendering our lives to him. We lose it all to gain everything. God's gift to us was his grace and mercy and forgiveness. Deliverance from our sin. Matthew recorded the reason that Jesus was coming was to save his people from their sins. That's the reason the baby came. To become the sacrifice, to become the atonement. The question is this morning, have we received that message? Or are we like his own people who rejected him? Have we opened our hearts and minds to him to receive his forgiveness, to confess and admit that we're sinners without him, but to receive his sacrifice on the cross, his blood as the atonement for our sins, yielding our lives to him, surrendering ourselves to him, that he can come not only be with us, but indeed, as the scripture said, to dwell in us and to change our hearts and our minds from the inside out and transform us to be good and pleasing to him. Is that the life that you're living today? Have you allowed God to be with you and invited him to be in you? Are you allowing his Holy Spirit to transform your mind so that you think differently. You see differently than the world sees. You don't react in the natural, carnal way, but that we see people and situations as God sees them. And by the help of His Holy Spirit, we live victoriously over sin in this life because of His presence with us and in us. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you entirely yielded yourself to Him to allow Him to be Lord and Master and not just Savior of your life this morning? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Close your eyes. And let me extend this opportunity and this invitation to you. That if you have never done so, that in this moment of time, all you have to do is simply say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. I want a relationship with you. And He will forgive your sins and He will enter your life and live with you and dwell in you and give you guidance and direction through the inspiration and communication of prayer and the Word itself and help you to be victorious and to be a changed life and to have the promise and the assurance of a home in heaven for all eternity. Some of you probably will remember the picture of Jesus standing at the door. You may have had this picture in your home. He stands at the door and He knocks. But there's no doorknob on the outside of that door because Jesus will not open the door. You must open it and allow Him to come in and invite Him to come in. My prayer is that every one of you have done that, either prior to this day or even here this morning. And I would ask you to go beyond that and surrender your life and say, Lord, I want you to be over everything. I want you to guide my every thought, my every action, my every attitude. May it look like Jesus as He gave us the example while He lived here on this earth. Father, we thank You for this gift of the Christ child. We thank You for Your plan of salvation. We receive it and embrace it with open hearts and minds today. We thank You for forgiving us our sins as we ask You to come into our heart and life. Lord, we commit to You to follow You. We yield to You and we surrender to You our lives this day. It's our gift back to You. Go with us, Lord, as we go out into our world, that we will continue to share that light and convey that message that others might come to know You as they see a difference that You have made in our lives in everyday kind of things. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you each and every one. We thank you for coming this morning. Wouldn't you like to express your appreciation to this choir once again for this wonderful cantata that they've shared with us this morning?
Acoustics are so much better when there's people in the congregation than when we're practicing. Next, if you'll turn around and look at the back, you'll see Ted Montgomery and Mike Willard. They run our sound and our video every Sunday, and we want to show them our appreciation. Thank you. I won't make you guys come to the front, but I'll bring you something in just a minute. And then sometimes when one of them is not here, Justin Carricker steps in and runs our video for us. But we want to give a big appreciation from all of us to Steve and Janet. We could show up every Sunday, but it would be chaos. So we appreciate your leadership.
We could not present this without all the hours of rehearsal and here and home both with all our choir members. And I do think Ted and Mike in the back for taking care of the sound and the video, but I'd like my wife to come up here. she's the one that gives me all the advice that y'all don't know about. She keeps everything on the straight and narrow. So thank you, honey, for all you do. Appreciate you. Love you. Thank you for...
We want to have a closing word of prayer. And I would encourage you, if there's anyone here, we would love to know this morning if you made a decision of any kind. I would love for you to share that with me, even if you do it in sending an email back to us during the week. But we'd like to know if you've made a decision or prayed about anything significant this morning, and we'd like to be able to give you support and follow up on that. For those of you who consider yourselves visitors this morning, we thank you for coming. We'd love to have you to either slip that white slip of paper out of the bulletin to us or sign our guest book. We'd love to acknowledge your visit with us today. If you do not have a church home of your own, we invite you to come and be with us again. We would love to have you as a regular part of our church family. Thank you all so much. And for those of you who are regulars, keep it up. Wouldn't be much fun without you. So we appreciate you and all that you do in support of your church family here today. We trust that you enjoy the Christmas season. And again, we will be having the Swearingen family. We turn this platform into our living room, and we'll invite you to be a part of the Swearingen family Christmas next Sunday morning. If you'd like to come and to do so, we'd love to have you. So thank you so much for coming and being with us in these very special services. I'm going to ask Brother Pat Stevens, who is our church board secretary, which essentially is the vice president of our church and company. And so thank you so much for all the service, all of our board members, all of our leaders. Brother Pat, if you would pray a closing prayer over our service this morning, please.